Hi, this is Todd Friel, Executive Director of Fortis Institute. Before we get to the podcast, might I encourage you to please join us in not retreating? Perhaps you've noticed in your news feed a lot of pressure on Christians to retreat, whether it is in the form of legislation, in persecution, or just outright bias. We are determined to stand firm, not water down the truth, and continue to make resources that encourage and equip the saints to defend and share their faith. We also love to support and undergird local churches, and we are determined to do so. And right now we have a matching gift campaign, which means if you join us now as a gospel partner, your gift will double. Would you please consider joining us on our mission as we are determined to not retreat. FortisInstitute.org/donate.
What is?
What is biblical counseling?
Biblical counseling will grow you from brokenness to wholeness.
I think what you just said made me look at those scenarios differently.
God replaced all my junk with a beautiful light.
God's really been changing the way that I parent my children.
The most amazing thing is the sufficiency of His Word.
This is Transformed. And now your host, Assistant Professor of Biblical Counseling at the Masters University and Certified Biblical Counselor, Dr. Greg Gifford.
Welcome back to Transformed. My name is Dr. Gifford, and today I'm answering your questions that you've emailed to me. First of all, I want to thank you for doing that. It's wonderful to stay connected to the listeners. Honestly, the questions have gotten massive over the years. It started with one a month, and now I'll get 10 to 15 every Sunday. They seem to batch in. So I'm thankful to hear from you. It allows me, it's like when I'm teaching a class, it just allows me to kind of have a pulse on where the students are at. And at a much larger scale, when I hear from listeners, it allows me to hear where you're at, the types of questions you're asking, help me understand where you're coming from. So today I've tried to divide up our segments. There's two segments with two questions each. And I've based this off of emails, and one in particular about missions has to do with broader question that you guys were asking and something that I said multiple times. Before we jump all the way back in, would you make sure that you're subscribed to us, you're following us on Apple, Spotify, Amazon, and if you have 30 seconds, could you leave a rating? It allows for the algorithms and the platform to be able to see us and continue to get this content from Fortis out to those who are looking for it. And I've had students from the Netherlands, Northern California, Australia, Africa, literally all over the world listen to Transform. So I'm a farmer. I'm like Farmer Joe, really. I got on overalls right now for those of you that are listening. And all I'm doing is just sowing the word. So I just basically jack around and talk about the Bible. And that's my life. So I literally am just saying, Lord, thank you for your word as it continues to get out there. It's all to His glory, seriously. Now, to the questions at hand. All right, four overarching questions, and it is in this order. Number one is about communication as a young person. Second is missions agencies. Third has to do with pregnant ladies. And fourth has to do with decisiveness and how do we grow in being more competent in our decisions. So there it is. Feel free to skip to whichever question you like. Okay, starting off, a younger listener, and he was in his teens, as I recall, he wrote in and said, hey, Dr. G, what resources or advice would you offer to a young man struggling with how to communicate and speak well? First of all, I love the question. Way of Manhood with Adam Tyson. I would encourage you to listen to that. Dr. T, my buddy Adam, my Savannah bro. He is honestly just a very eloquent dude. I have a lot of respect for Adam, and I have a lot of respect for his family and ministry. So I would start there by listening to some good content that Adam pumps out on a regular basis. I would commit to memory Colossians 4:6, which says, let your words always be with grace, seasoned with salt, so that you will know how to answer each person, that you will know how you should answer each person. You do learn to grow in communication skills, and I've talked about this dozens of times on Transform, but as a young man, you're growing in awareness of how to improve. remember, as a young man, you're setting small goals. Don't see someone in their 40s and say, you know what, I'm 19 and I want to speak like they speak. That's a process, and it takes work to learn how to be an articulate speaker. And I am not. I still say library instead of library, and I'm working on it, all right? Give me a break. I always think that we can be learning how to be more precise and be a better listener and pronounce things better. So as a young man, start with small goals to be more articulate or be a better listener. I think good reading actually facilitates good communication because you have a broader depth of knowledge. And as a young man, as soon as conversations that I was unaware of that knowledge, it's like I'm kind of excluded from that, except for maybe asking questions. So it was always cars, carpentry. You know, when I'm 15, I didn't know anything about cars. So as that came up, it's like, man, I have no clue. But the more I learn about just conversational skill and that seasoned with grace, just about any conversation I can know a little bit about or know something about a related discipline. So be a broad reader and watch the way that that influences your communication, and in particular, biblical studies and then theological studies, meaning learn the Bible, spend the bulk of your time reading in the Bible, not about the Bible, which is theology, but reading in the Bible. And then I'm going to pick up like a John MacArthur, Biblical Doctrine, Wayne Grudem, Systematic Theology, and I'm going to go listen to Integrated with John Krotz, and I'm going to learn good theology. So I also have practical and I have a depth of conversation. Practical is like we talk about video games and watching Love on the Spectrum, which is awesome. Hey guys, I watched an episode last night of Love on the Spectrum. Oh my goodness. My wife and I were like almost crying. It was so cute. So we can talk about those things, and then we can talk about the hypostatic union. Just a couple of other things. Maybe work on recording yourself as you talk and practicing reading so you can hear, do you stutter? Do you use a lot of uhs? Do you slur in some of your speech, blends together? In homiletics and preaching workshop, I had to do a lot of observing myself. And even to this day, I will typically listen to transformed episodes and see if I need to improve on something or actually take those singing lessons that Todd offered to pay for. So far, small goals. Read broadly, but particularly in biblical and theological studies. Consider recording yourself and working on the actual pronunciation and homiletics aspect, public speaking. And then lastly, remember that Paul says he comes in weakness of speech and that God has chosen the things that are weak in this world to shame the wise. Don't make it about how awesome your speech is. Make it about the glory of God. And even in our phonetic weaknesses, if that's even a way to say that, we can say God's glorified even if I'm stumbling all over myself. I understand in a certain vocation, public speaking and teaching, I might need to be a little more articulate, but God can use a humble, faithful person to share the truth of Scripture. So that is our goal, to glorify Christ, not to be thought of as being intellectual, articulate, or some other version of that. Second question. Okay, many of you wrote in after I published those episodes on missions and biblical counseling. In fact, I'm still getting emails, and as I record this, it's been about 3 weeks since those launched. Why does that matter? Because you had many, many, many questions. As I wrote to you, many of you I emailed back precisely with particular details, wanting you to follow that in God's life. And others, it was generic things like, hey, here is the missions agency. But many people ask this type of question. Do you happen to know of opportunities to use my trade with missions agencies or overseas churches? That's using my work without selling everything and going and becoming a missionary. How can we be faithful? I have repeatedly emailed out these two with the recommendation of a third missions agency. Number one, Biblical Counseling Ministries Worldwide. Dr. Andrew Rogers, he is up at North Creek Church in Northern California. He's the executive director, and there are people in, I don't know how many countries, I thought it was closer to 30 countries, teaching biblical counseling and also offering biblical counseling in that country. BCMworldwide.org, or BCMW is what it's known as for short. It was formerly known as Overseas Instruction and Counseling, but it was recently rebranded to BCMW. That's the first place. ABWE is the second place, and there is a biblical counseling internship. There is biblical counseling missionaries. And I do know from Masters that we actually had ABWE come out multiple times in the past. I don't know if they still do this, but they would come out, bring a team, meet with students, represent here, and provide easy next steps to onboarding. So if you're at all interested, check out those two, or here is the third. Reach out to a missions agency that specializes in your people group or your country. As I mentioned in those episodes, we reached out to the Japanese Evangelical Missionary Society, or GEMS. Their headquarters is in LA. So my wife and I, you probably guessed it, went to LA, interviewed with them, and got approved to be short-term workers with GEMS. How did I find them? By simply researching. I would encourage you to do the same thing. What country do you want to go to? What people group do you want to work with? Start to research that, Google it, and look up Pioneers, look up OMF, look up Grace Advanced, or TMAI, I think is the one. Look up these different organizations and see, do they have someone doing what I want to do? Remember, you're not asking, do they bless me to go to Japan or your equivalent? You're saying, do they do that work and can they support me in the doing of that work? So approach your missions agency as, I'm going this direction and who can help me get there? Not, I want their permission to go this direction. That is a local church question where you should work with your elders, pastors, and spiritual leaders to get their feedback on you pursuing the field. So if your pastors are for it, then the agency doesn't make that final call. That's your sending church's decision. Here is what you cannot do. And guys, I said this in about 30 different ways as I responded to emails. Don't sit around. Some of you are waiting for a shooting star to take steps on this. Start to explore what God is doing. And seriously, what you'll find is that the original plan didn't really come to fruition, but God worked in this other way in a very sweet and amazing way. So reach out to the agencies, see what's going on, and then you'll see God surprise you as missions opportunities do open up. So let me take a short break. When we come back, I'm going to address the question about pregnant women. We'll be right back.
And we will be back. More from Dr. Gifford in just a moment, who is working through listener questions this week. He's talked about communications and missions, and more is still to come. That second question, however, well, it got me to thinking. You had folks write in wanting to know how to use their training and their skills for something that actually matters eternally. And that hunger to be equipped for kingdom work is exactly what Greg's entire vocation is built around. So here's where I'd point you. The Masters University, where they train people to do precisely that. As a matter of fact, Dr. Gifford is a professor there as well, and they are teaching students to take what God's given them and aim it to something that lasts. And TMU is doing more than hand out degrees. It's forming men and women who can step into the church, to a counseling room, or on the mission field and actually be useful. If you've ever wondered whether your talent and skills could serve something bigger than a paycheck, the Masters University is the place you need to get equipped. You can get the conversation started right now by visiting masters.edu/transformed. And while you're out there on the internet, I would also urge you to download the Fortis Plus app if you haven't done that yet. It's not going to cost you anything. It's free of charge, and it needs to be something that you visit daily because we're updating it every single day. It's already full of hundreds of hours of audio and video content, and we're adding to it every single day. So make sure you download Fortis Plus. You can do it at the App Store, where you download apps on your smartphone, your smart TV, or you can just simply go to fortisplus.org. Now, let's get back to Dr. Gifford. This is Transform. Welcome back to Transform.
The Bible informs us that difficult events or circumstances are not the cause of our bad decision-making. Trauma merely reveals what is already in the heart.
And now your host, Dr. Greg Gifford.
Okay, welcome back. Today's episode has been dedicated to answering your questions and going back through my emails and getting the questions that you have asked and sharing them here in today's episode. So far, I've answered questions about missions and which missions agencies might you consider for biblical counseling and how does a young guy work on his communication skills. This next question came in and it is from a young mother. She asked, how would you encourage pregnant women who experience tiredness/morning sickness to get the rest they need while also being faithful throughout the day? Well, there's a couple of ways that I would answer that. And I am going to do my best to just speak the biblical truth while being sensitive to not knowing what it's like to be a pregnant woman. I know that may come as a shock to some of you with my deep voice and my giant muscles, but I've never been pregnant. So yeah, I guess now is the time for me to tell you guys that. What I do know biblically is, as a husband, I've watched Amber be pregnant 3 times. For her, it wasn't the easiest of pregnancies. Each of those times, it had a significant physical toll. And I know that her experience isn't every woman's experience. So what do we know for sure? What has God called every pregnant woman to do? Well, I'm still in Colossians 4 from our last segment. In Colossians 3, verse 23, whatever you do, do your work heartily as for the Lord rather than for men, knowing that from the Lord we will receive the reward of the inheritance. Serve the Lord Christ. While pregnant, you still have that obligation to serve the Lord faithfully, but the capacities that God has given you are changing. You're doing all things as unto the Lord, but you know you can actually rest and steward your body as unto the Lord as well. Meaning that whatever expectation you had of productivity may need to be addressed and minimized, at least for this season. Some of you ladies, like, I just want to be candid, like, you're like iron women. And it's like, did you even know you were pregnant? Because you worked until the final day. You're like doing karate kicks into the 9th month of pregnancy. And you have the child, and 2 hours later, you're back at work doing whatever you do. And I just want to encourage you, like, hey, that's great for you. The Lord hasn't made every lady like that. So the lady that's wrestling with tiredness and morning sickness, she has to see that what God has given to her during this time is a limited capacity that is not the same as the person that can work until the final point, and she never experiences morning sickness and so forth. So address those expectations to move from accomplishing tasks at the same level I was to just being faithful. If the Lord's given you morning sickness, then in the mornings, like, you're just trying to be faithful to have a good attitude, not be bitter, not grumble or complain. 1 Corinthians 4, verses 1 through 4, you're a faithful steward, knowing that you'll give an account to the Lord in verse 5. So the goal as a pregnant lady is not to continue to do what you were doing, but to be faithful in this season of life. And if you're asking this question, my guess is that you probably have higher expectations on yourself. So maybe you need to lessen those. And if you feel guilty or you feel like you should be more active or more available for your other kids, my 2 cents is adjust that expectation for these 9 months and say, look, the Lord has given me greater tiredness. I'm supporting life and I want to use my gifts to serve my family, but I only have a limited amount for this season. Don't stress yourself out. We want you to be ministering from a place of joy. And husbands who are listening to this, before I move on to my third answer under this question, husbands, think like you are protecting your wife and you're putting her in a place where she can heal, she can grow, she can be nourished and cared for. We love her as our own bodies, Ephesians 5:29. And if she needs rest, great, let's get her some rest. If she needs crackers, let's get her some crackers. If there's one food that she can eat and not be nauseous, great, let's go find that food and help her get that so she can not be nauseous. So we're not guilting her into being more active and we're not guilting her into doing more. We're doing our best to be accommodating and caring during the season where she has a limited capacity. So the final 2 thoughts, the first was, do everything as unto the Lord, be a faithful steward, 1 Corinthians 4:1 through 5. But notice certain ladies respond differently, so don't be judgy. Well, when I was pregnant, you know, like back in my day, we'd have the baby and go back to work. And you're like, oh yeah, sure, right, you know. I would say you be faithful and then don't let the John 21 problem where Peter immediately says to Jesus, what about this guy? You be faithful to follow Christ and you don't worry about other ladies. So it doesn't translate into judgmentalism. I think you just give thanks and be faithful to what God's given to you. Give thanks that the Lord has allowed some of you as ladies to have a world where you don't have to continue to wake up at 6:30 and get to work by 8 and work a full day.
but you have a husband or you have a family that really does care for you, and they've created a space where in the mornings, if you need to, you can rest and you can stay home and just try to take care of yourself and take it easy. Praise the Lord. That's not what every lady has gotten to experience. And so just know that that's a special gift. And all you're trying to do is be thankful and offer worship to the Lord for that. And that should not translate into bitterness or laziness or any of those other deviations. So to this mom, excel all the more. And I would encourage you, adjust those expectations and seek to be faithful. Okay, last question for today. How do you get better at being a decisive person and not being overly concerned about making the wrong decision? I think that's a really fair question. And to be candid, I am not a man who makes decisions quickly without thinking them through. That can be a blessing at times because you've researched and thought through. You have a plan A, plan B, plan C. But then other times, I'm not always confident in the decisions that I make. I've met some people where I'm like, I don't know if they know what the term lack of confidence actually means. They just say, we're going this way. Follow me, everyone. And then we go that way and it's like, oh, wait, that wasn't the way. We're going this way. And over time, we lose trust in them because they just make a random decision. So confidence isn't necessarily the goal in our decision making. To clarify the question, we are not trying to be a decisive person per se or a confident in our decisions person per se. We're trying to be a wise person. We're trying to walk in the fear of the Lord, according to Proverbs 1:7. And that above all things, we keep God's commandments while fearing him, Ecclesiastes 12. So I'm not necessarily aspiring to be confident. I'm aspiring to be wise. Sometimes hesitating to make the decision and ask more questions actually contributes to that. So by me being overly confident, I can make a foolish decision. The goal is to not worship certainty either. Some of us have paralysis by analysis, where we overthink, overcomplicate, and instead of actually just wisely planning, according to Proverbs 16 or James 4, where we understand our life is like a vapor, and if God wills, then we will go to this city. Instead of doing that, we are over-planning everything, and thus we are, in a way, worshiping certainty or worshiping control. So you have to repent of saying, I need to know, or it all has to go the way that I want it to go. You have to repent of that. And when you do that, you can draw a line and say, you know what, it's possible for me to make a mistake and that not to be a sin. And if I sin, I repent of a sin. Whereas if I make a mistake, I grow in wisdom. So scripture says, all right, if you're taking notes and listening, let me turn over to 1 Peter. In 1 Peter, it's important to note that Peter creates a category for suffering as an evildoer, 1 Peter 4, verse 15. Make sure that none of you suffers as a murderer or a thief or evildoer or troublesome meddler, but if anyone suffers as a Christian, he's not to be put to shame, but it's to glorify God in his name. You know, in all reality, you can suffer for the glory of Christ because you didn't do anything wrong, and there's something commendable in that. But if you're suffering as an evildoer, you should respond, well, still, but that's really your fault. Whereas a mistake isn't necessarily that I intentionally sinned against the Lord. It's I had limited knowledge. And because of my limited knowledge, I made a foolish decision. Some of us wish we could get back financial decisions. Some of us wish that we could get back decisions where we got stuck in traffic, we booked a flight too close to rush hour, those types of things. The encouragement that I would make is when you have a mistake, the scripture says this in Proverbs 9:9, give knowledge to a wise man and he will be still wiser. Make a righteous man know it and he will increase his learning. When you make a mistake, you grow in wisdom and you don't duplicate that mistake. The fool returns to his folly like a dog returns to vomit. That's where you make a mistake and duplicate it again. So how do you grow in being more decisive? You know, like, hey, I may actually make a mistake, but I'm going to learn from that and improve. Proverbs 9. That's different from me saying I'm going to intentionally sin against the Lord. That is actually a 1 Peter 4 issue where you're suffering as an evildoer. And there's nothing to boast about in that. So I'll be candid with you guys. I am a mistake-making machine. I make mistakes all the time. I have now started the Transform Biblical Counseling Centers. I've written books. I host this podcast. I teach at Masters. And in each of those spheres, I have made significant mistakes. But my goal is to learn from them and to improve. And short of dishonoring the Lord, I'm not overly concerned about making a mistake, even if it costs me a little bit of money and time, because I'm learning from that and growing. So grow in reorienting your goal. You're wanting to be wise, not perfect. And if you're worshiping certainty, it will all be undermined. As always, as you guys have questions and recommendations for episodes, would you please write into greg@transform.org? I love hearing from you. I respond to almost everyone that writes in, especially if they're concise and to the point. And I would love to hear from you, especially if you have questions. So let me pray for us and we will be done for today. Lord, it is so good to be able to interact with these listeners. Thank you for the stewardship of those that listen to Transformed. May you help all of us to genuinely care about what's happening in our life through the lens of Scripture. And may these questions equip the listeners to be able to be faithful to your Son, Jesus. And it's in His name that we pray. Amen.
This has been Transformed from Dr. Greg Gifford, a production of Fortis Institute. Our website is fortisinstitute.org, and it is your central hub for all things Fortis. If you've enjoyed Transform with Dr. Greg Gifford, would you please consider subscribing and sharing with your friends and church family? Also, would you prayerfully consider joining this labor of love by becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner? And until next time, go serve your King.